It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
It's time for Lightning Radio. The Lightning is on the streets. It has been for, well, about 10 years now. The Lightning is in your mailboxes, and it is on the radio. Bill, this is our 10th anniversary? Is this our 10th anniversary?
I was going to welcome the community to show number 520, thereabouts, of Lightning Radio on Lightning Thursday. And I'm wearing, you can't see it on the radio, I guess, but another honorary, my second honorary Carburetors shirt.
Your Carburetors work shirt.
Carburetors work shirt with the grease stain.
Yeah, that's right, buddy.
And all. Not many people have these vintage carburetor shirts that have the, tell the radio community why I'm wearing carburetor shirt.
While you're wearing a carburetor shirt, you're wearing a carburetor shirt. You were very, very supportive of the carburetors in our years of
playing.
And
you were the lead singer.
I was one of them, yeah.
One of the lead singers.
Jay Gorey and I were the
frontman. Which we all wish would have reunion number 500.
We'll work on that. Another reunion, another big reunion tour.
We'll call Billy and Jay and Damian Duke Domain and say, get your stand-up bass and come on out.
Let's go have some fun. Yeah, we will. The carburetors haven't played for their last time, I don't think.
I hope not.
All right, so Bill, again, congratulations on 10 years. And I have to say, just on my behalf, and I've said this before, one of my proudest moments in my broadcasting history was the day you called me and asked me to sit and have coffee with you, and you talked to me about this project that you were working on that we kept hush, but that you said you then wanted to partner with me and with WTZQ Radio. That was a very proud moment. I'm glad it happened, and it's been 10 years of great radio content. And I appreciate that. And our listeners, Q Nation, appreciates it, too. They really love getting behind the hill. I hear it all the time. People say, one of my favorite programs is Thursday morning, listening to you and Bill, is what they say. So yeah, I thank you for that partnership.
Yeah, exactly. Just 2 days ago, you and I were at a media panel on graduation day of Vision Henderson County.
Yeah.
And you were on the right-hand side, so I think you started the introductions and talked about WTZQ and the commitment to your community. And when it got to me, I said, yeah, I echo that. Yeah. Mark and I are we live in the parallel universe of understanding that good community-oriented, community-focused radio, just like good local journalism, is good business.
Yep.
It is the sustainable model when most things are corporate-owned.
Yep.
In the world of corporate journalism. And then we had another Legacy Daily that had actually a staff of two.
Yeah, right.
Which is less than my staff.
Yeah, exactly.
Of five.
Right.
And they have to try to fill now six print products per week. So thank you. I thank the listeners. I thank the readers for supporting the Lightning for these 520 weeks.
Well, no one does it like you, Bill. And the Lightning is a jewel, and we're glad to have it, and we're glad to have you. And congratulations again on 10 years. So let's get into the news, Bill, can we? You and I were reminiscing so much that we didn't really talk about our headlines. So I'll kind of follow your lead. Do you want to start with, of course, we're right in the midst of early voting. So we need to dive into some election coverage.
Yeah, as we say, we're a monkey in a monkey tree. We're a pig in slop because it is now, 2 weeks before the May 17 primary.
Yep.
Early voting's already underway. Pick up your Hendersonville Lightning today or all week to get a copy of the 2022 Primary Election Voter Guide, which has Q&As starting on the front page of what could be the most interesting race, which is House District 117. And then it also has Jake Johnson and David Rogers and competing their double bunked for North Carolina House District 113. We've got Michael Edney seeking a sixth term as Board of Commissioners, challenged by Amy Lynn Holt, and we've got Mr. Hayes and Mr. Hudson competing for a new district court judgeship funded by the North Carolina Legislature, North Carolina, the General Assembly, and Marianne Holliker and Andrew Murray for district attorney. But let's start out with, as I mentioned, House District 117. We got Q&As on all of these races in competing for that Republican nomination, and then would probably sail on, barring an unprecedented write-in campaign, to the office, as there is no Democratic candidate. Is Dennis Justice and Chelsea Walsh and Jennifer Baucom running for that seat?
Dennis Justice, of course, a name we're used to hearing around election time. He's he's run for a lot of seats, a lot of offices.
I had to ask Dennis Justice because I couldn't go back to 1996 or 1998 and look at it all. I said, how many times have you run? He said, I think nine times, but if you count the times that I announced and then decided I needed to withdraw, 11.
Wow.
But Dennis Justice, I give the man credit. He researches the things that he likes to research, whether it's obesity or whether it's artificial turf fields or pickleball courts, or most famously in recent years, gaming in North Carolina. That's Dennis Justice will have a pretty involved opinion about it. But what we ask the candidates, of course, we always ask our opening is, why are you running for this office? In this case, why are you running for the North Carolina Legislature? What priorities do you have if you are elected? You can find out by reading the lightning what they say when we ask the Acosta Trail will soon be under construction in Henderson County. Do you support the Acosta Trail? Why or why not? If you support the trail, what, if anything, would you do in Raleigh to help bring home some construction funding? And actually, in Henderson County, they're close to having that funded, but could always use the last little – well, there's still a couple segments to go there. And they do all support that. Republican leaders and Governor Roy Cooper have cracked the door on a possible compromise to allow for Medicaid expansion in North Carolina. Do you support or oppose expansion? They pretty much unanimously oppose that as well. And if elected, what committees will you seek to serve on? So check out the lightning. We have that for the legislature. And as I say, the other races we have covered as well.
So one of the races I'm very interested in, of course, is even more hyper-local, and that is the Holt and Edney challenge for county commissioner. What are your thoughts on that, Bill, and what questions did you ask them?
Very interesting. That one is very interesting. Of course, you're right. Michael Edney, he served two terms, I think it was, in the 1990s, and then came back, 12 years ago or so?
Yep.
This would be his sixth term if he wins. Amy Lynn Holt, the past chair and current school board member, is in the Republican primary challenging Michael Edney. So that's going to be very interesting. You're exactly right. Of course, we asked why they're running. Commissioners recently endorsed a proposal to search for 20 acres or more for a soccer, kind of a multi-use park, costing up to $14 million. Do you support the proposal? And Amy Lynn Holt, interestingly, says being outdoors, exercise is key to a child's development. And then she goes on to her own research on the topic. However, the number of soccer players in Henderson County does not, in my opinion, meet the threshold to justify investing $14 million at the present time. According to the last census, there's more than 27,000 children under 18 in Henderson County, and children playing soccer account for less than 3% of that population. And that equates, she says, to $17,500 per child playing soccer. But there would be other sports such as flag football, lacrosse, mm-hmm. many other sports could play on these artificial turf fields when they get built. And we actually gave Michael Edney a little extra space. We limit answers to 100 words, but because he had a quasi-correction to our question. He goes, first, a point of clarification. Commissioners recently endorsed a proposal to search for 20-plus acres of property suitable for the development of a soccer multipurpose park. Commissioners in no way endorse the $14 million price tag, which theoretically is true. I mean, they have to find the property and buy the property first, and then they have to get engineers and designers, and then they have to put it out for bid. And the $14 million in the county staff proposal would have taken place, I want to say, over, what was it, 5 or 7 years or longer. So the first part of it was maybe half of that, buying the property and building two fields, two large regulation-sized soccer fields, which a soccer field is very big. It's bigger than a football field.
Right.
And you could, if you turn it perpendicular, you could have, with the little kids, you could have one field would equal three fields.
Right.
Anyway, and then Michael Edney goes on to say he totally supports it. I, in fact, Michael Edney says, am the one who made the motion to begin the search. So then we go on to the somewhat controversial, in some ways, Michael Edney manifesto, where we ask that Mr. Edney has advocated for, quote, development of a countywide water and sewer authority that offers equal rates to all customers regardless of their location, possibly in collaboration with the city of Asheville, and has proposed construction of a wastewater treatment system to, quote, serve the U.S. Highway 64 corridor from the Eastern Continental Divide to the county line in Etowah, which is a pretty darn big sewer system. So we asked for Mr. Edney, how would this work and who would pay for it, and for Mrs. Holt, do you favor or oppose a countywide water and sewer system, or why not? So you can read their answer to Hendersonville Lightning. And, of course, this being Mr. Edney's idea, he defends it and says, no, it wouldn't come from taxpayer dollars, but it would come from what he describes as state and federal grants. And then once it's built from the users and once the ratepayers were paying in, they could expand. And Amy Lynn Holt says, we don't want to get involved with the city of Asheville because Asheville is dysfunctional. And, you know, when you're running for office in Henderson County, there's no sure bet than to make a crack about Asheville.
Absolutely. That's a safe
crack
one.
About
That's pretty safe.
Asheville. Yeah.
That's pretty safe.
I go to Asheville to feel old. I stay home to feel I stay home to feel young.
Oh, Bill Moss, you kill me. There is, you've covered these candidates quite well. We're going to talk about more. We're going to talk more politics and more news. You are listening to Lightning Radio, its 10th anniversary show, right here on your community radio station, WTZQ.
Finding the right insurance doesn't have to be a difficult task. That's where the professionals at Barnett & Coates come in. Family-owned and founded back in 1969, you can rest assured that the Barnett & Coates team has a strong insurance background paired with product knowledge to serve you best. From auto, home, business and contractor liability, and business auto to outdoor vehicles and watercraft, with Barnett & Coates, you'll experience the quality service you only find with an independent agency. Barnett & Coates, Spartanburg Highway near Chick-fil-A or at barnettandcoates.com.
Kaysen Builder Supply, the official sponsor of patio season, providing quality landscape and masonry materials, exceptional customer service, and superior delivery. From locations in East Flat Rock, Brevard, and Greer. Now is the time to prepare for patio season with a visit to Kaysen Builder Supply in East Flat Rock to see displays of outdoor rooms, pavers, retaining walls, and fire pits. Kaysen Builder Supply, providing exceptional service for over 40 years. The official sponsor of patio season. KaysenCompaniesInc.com.
It's time to sign up for Camp Canoga, an Episcopal-based co-ed summer camp in Hendersonville for rising grades 2 through 12, providing a supportive and fun experience that nurtures faith, new skills, interests, and friendships. There's a program for every child at Camp Canoga, including day camp, overnight camp, WNC expeditions, and a leadership academy for teens. Lots of sessions and options. Space is limited. Check out the dates and rates at campcanoga.org. That's campcanoga.org. Friends of downtown Hendersonville welcomes the public to witness the unveiling of 20 new works of bear art. Following the reveal, the bears will take their places on the sidewalks of downtown through late October before being sold at auction. This reveal is a free event that begins at 5:30 p.m. Thursday, May the 12th at the Visitor Center Outdoor Stage, 201 South Main Street. Visit downtownhendersonville.org for more info. And don't miss the Bear Art Reveal, May the 12th at 5:30 p.m.
And we are back with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com with Lightning Radio. Bill, let's finish up more of the Four Seasons politics that you have here. This is a major part of this week's episode. Finish up with a couple of more questions that you were asking Edney and Holt, who are both, of course, running for commissioner.
Yeah, neither one of them would take the bait, as it were. But I get this question from time to time from readers and wanting me to pose this question to elected leaders, not even necessarily in the context of a campaign, but this happens to be in the context of a campaign. So we queried this way. The county has 13 fire departments. That's 12 volunteer fire and rescues, plus the city of Hendersonville.
Yep.
And four local law enforcement agencies, which is the sheriff's office and Hendersonville, Laurel Park, and Fletcher police departments. And what services, we ask, if any, do you think could be consolidated, such as recreation, law enforcement, fire and rescue service, et cetera? And, well, we'll just start with Amy Lynn Holt. My initial response is absolutely not. The men and women who serve our county as first responders, fire and rescue, so forth, are some of the hardest working people in our county. And that's not in dispute that they're hardworking people. The question is, do we need 13 fire chiefs and 13 fire bookkeepers and 13 assistant fire chiefs and 13 fire marshals and 13 training officers and 13 or 26 or more fire lieutenants and fire captains, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Or could we have one gigantic fire and rescue agency? And could we have one gigantic law enforcement agency? And Michael Edney similarly does not take the bait. I would like to see only one tiny part. Would he want to? I would like to see one consolidated communication dispatch center to be implemented. It could be done as an independent entity. In other words, the city of Hendersonville, I think, is the only thing that is separate. It has its own police dispatch.
Right.
If you call in the city, or if you call 911 and it's in the city, that's actually then transferred to the city dispatch, 911.
Okay.
So, and then we ask the county commission candidates, Amy Lynn Holt and Michael Edney, what priorities would you have for Henderson County if you are elected? And go pick up your Lightning or read pretty soon on HendersonvilleLightning.com responses to that question.
Okay. Do you want to go into brief comments about the other races as well?
I did want to mention, because it's a bit unusual to have a brand new I think it's off cycle because they will be back on the judges usually will be back on the ballot in I think 2024, but this is a brand new judicial district court judgeship for District 29B, which is made up of Henderson, Polk, and Transylvania counties. And we have candidates Jason R. Hayes, who is an assistant district attorney, and Abe Hudson, who is a Marine Corps veteran and a Henderson County magistrate and lives in Etowah. So read their answers. We asked them, you know, in a judgeship race, candidates are limited in what they can say.
Right.
A lot of – because they're likely to have to sit on a case that involves the question you're asking. So these are a bit more general – Of course, name, rank, and serial number, so to speak. Why are you running? Tell us about your background experience that qualifies you for a judgeship, and what priorities would you have for District 29B if you are elected? And then, similarly, we have a district attorney race.
Mm-hmm. Right, Holliker and Murray.
Right. And this is, of course, there is an incumbent, but he's seeking his first election as district attorney is the incumbent, Andrew Murray. And he is challenged. This is the second cycle in a row that Mary Ann Holliker is challenging the district attorney. Last time it was Greg Newman, who was thrown out of office for misconduct by a Superior Court judge last year. And similarly, we do ask them, why are they running? What about your background qualifies you for this? Mr. Murray certainly has 14 years of experience as a state and federal prosecutor. He likes to tout that he was appointed to the as U.S. Attorney for Western North Carolina mm-hmm. by a certain Donald J. Trump. A great part of his background is 35 years of combined active and reserve exemplary service with the U.S. Coast Guard, where he retired as a captain. Mary Ann Holliker, she's been licensed to practice since 2001. She served as a deputy prosecutor in Hawaii for 12 years and was a domestic violence prosecutor for 5 years. Then moved to the violent crime unit for 7 years. So she, too, has some experience as a prosecutor, and find out by reading the lightning what priorities they would have for the prosecutorial district if they are elected, and what proposals do they have to ensure speedy and efficient trials that preserve the rights of defendants and crime victims.
I'm going to highly suggest that people pick up this copy of this lightning before you go to vote, even for early voting, so you can really get to know these candidates a whole lot better. You also have sample ballots so that you can look at these ballots before you step into to where you're going to vote. And Bill, let's remind folks about how early voting works. There are certain places that you can go for early voting right now. You can go to the Board of Elections, which is right there off of Spartanburg Highway. You can go to Flat Rock Village Hall. You can go to the Etowah Library, and you can go to Fletcher Town Hall. 8 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. on weekdays, and then Saturday the 14th, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. That's the Saturday before Election Day.
Correct. And that's your last opportunity.
Then on Election Day, you must go to your precinct voting spot. All right. I've been told that a lot of people go to the Board of Elections thinking they can vote on Election Day. You cannot do that.
Cannot.
You have to go to your precinct voting spot.
And you might want to check. Well, if you go, you'll see there's a few precincts where you're going to say, oh, I thought Jake Johnson was my representative. No, not any longer. As a result of redistricting, precincts moved from House District 117 to House District 113 were North Blue Ridge, South Blue Ridge, and Southeast. And then, as a result of redistricting, precincts moved from District 113 to 117 were Atkinson, Crab Creek, Etowah South, Etowah Valley, Green River, and Horseshoe. So that line of precincts along the South Carolina line from Polk County to Transylvania County, that went away, and Transylvania County went away completely from House District 113.
Right.
And it moved east and sort of north to part of Rutherford County.
Right.
And that's how Jake Johnson and David Rogers got double bunked.
Exactly.
David Rogers from Rutherford.
Uh-huh.
That's how those two got double bunked. So
also, I'm sorry, go ahead. I was going to remind folks also, because I've had this question. This is a primary, so if you were registered Democrat, you vote in the Democrat ticket. If you're registered Republican, you vote on the Republican ticket. If you are independent, you choose whether you want to vote on the Democrat ticket or whether you want to vote on the Republican ticket.
And when it comes to, wait for it, the 11th Congressional District, a lot of talk
mm-hmm.
about how many disaffected or maybe by choice choosing to switch from Democratic Party affiliation to independent in order to vote in that very interesting Republican primary for
yep.
the 11th Congressional District, or disaffected Republicans who said, I'm done being a Republican, I'm now going to be unaffiliated. How many of those go in there to vote, really to vote a no vote against Madison Cawthorn? So we don't know.
So much noise
about that. And we don't, there's I think it's 14 candidates in the 11th Congressional District. We don't have Q&As of those. We've had ample coverage of that with the forum that we did cover, but so much noise about that continues, and people ask me, what about it? Will Madison Cawthorn make that 30 points plus one vote?
Exactly. It's all up in the air. We do not know.
Madison Cawthorn himself, he confirms. No, he doesn't confirm the damage, but he confirms the campaign. We'll just say the campaign content that has been happening as a drip campaign, and this latest thing, he says he won't be blackmailed, whatever that means. But that is interesting. Just when you bring that up, there is a unaffiliated. I think is the largest. It's the largest in the 11th Congressional District. It is now the largest number. Watch for that on right now, obviously, with voting underway, and on May 17, and on the night of May 17, when we analyze, when we get to see what happened there. The unaffiliated has a great deal to do with it.
Yep, absolutely. Bill, there's a couple of other stories we want to touch on very quickly that have not made it to the print yet because they were faster breaking, but they are on HendersonvilleLightning.com. One of them, very strange story about the untimely death that happened, shooting death that happened, and there's an explanation for it and why it will not be, why it will not be read up as a murder charge or anything. This is a little confusing, but tell us about this.
Well, it is, but thanks to the Lightning, there's a one sentence lead that
says it all.
Kind of tells the story, and people really need to pick up their Lightning, or again, go online to read the rest of the story of a fatal shooting that involved, quote, an ill-fated plan to play a prank, the district attorney's words, two shooters mistaking a woman's flatulence for a Black Panther's growl, true story, the sound of a stick breaking, and a dozen rotten eggs was, quote, a tragic and heart-wrenching accident that will not be prosecuted as a crime, District Attorney Andrew Murray announced Tuesday. So, this shooting in the dark of the night, last October, of two gentlemen who shot at their, quote, girlfriend and one fiancé, according to this report, and shot and killed 18-year-old Rachel Olivia Buchanan, won't be prosecuted as a murder of any degree, first, second, or unintentional. And Mr. Murray sends this off to the SBI and tells the SBI to close the file with no further action required, end quote. So you have to read the story.
Yeah.
It's all explained. It's explained in great detail, not by the Lightning, but by Mr. Murray.
It's again a tragic story. Bill, let's finish up this morning with another story that you have online, and that is our county manager has unveiled a $178 million budget.
He has indeed. Our new county manager, as of last July 1st. But this is his first budget, and he unveiled it, and that is what he recommended. It's a no new tax budget, keeping the property tax rate at 56.1 cents per $100 valuation, but it could be lower still if County Commission Chair Bill Leslie gets his way, because he says, you know, every year we say that we are using a certain amount of fund balance to balance the budget because your proposed budget has just a bit more spending than revenue, but then every year we actually, because we spend less than we said we were, and we make or receive more revenue than we said we were in the budget, we don't end up using that fund balance, and it grows and grows and grows, and that's true. It's,
yeah.
It's like $40 million or $35 million, something. It's, I think maybe it's around $35 million now, which is why he said we're, and as he says, if we were a private corporation, I'd say, hallelujah, this is a good business. Lapsy said, but we're not a private corporation. I think we owe it to the taxpayer to address. I don't think it's our obligation to make boatloads of money. So watch for those. And there are other interesting things to watch for. Go to HendersonvilleLightning.com or read next week's Lightning for more on what's going to happen. We're getting to the end of the commitment of $22 million, $22.8 million worth of ARP, American Rescue Plan money, and whether we know it's going to be the Edneyville sewer. We know several other things that are in there for sure, and the Edneyville sewer is about half of it. But will it be soccer field? It's also going to be that VFW hall renovation. Will it be soccer fields or will it be a new Fletcher EMS station? That's hanging fire at the tail end of ARP.
Yeah. And I can guarantee you, you'll find those answers if you read your Hendersonville Lightning, which is celebrating 10 years. Bill, there's still so much more. Please, folks, do yourself a favor. Pick up this copy of this week's Lightning and read it from cover to cover before you go vote. You need to know who you're voting for and why. And you can get those answers by reading this week's Lightning on this 10th anniversary of Lightning Radio here on WTZQ. Bill, where can people pick up their copy of the 10-year-old Hendersonville Lightning?
All around the county. Go out and drive in the pleasant weather, or walk or ride your bicycle to any of the Lightning Orange racks around the county, or visit our dealer partners, such as coffee shops and convenience stores or the Publix grocery store, or by visiting HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on subscribe, and that will walk you through the way to join the growing legions of Lightning fans that get their Lightning today, as they have for 10 years, and join it, by U.S. mail on today, Lightning Thursday, or by calling Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.